Yes, welcome to the dark. Again. For the 50th time. That's right, this is episode 50 of A Scott in the Dark, and I can't believe it either. But I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening, and if this is the first time you've ever listened, thank you for joining us. My name is Scott Swenson, and I am the host of A Scott in the Dark, as well as the owner of Scott Swenson Creative Development. And this is kind of a celebratory episode for us. This is the 50th episode of the podcast. And, you know, of course, what are you going to do when you have some sort of 50th episode or some sort of milestone episode? You're going to look back and you're going to cheat a lot and throw in some recordings from previous shows just as, you know, filler, if nothing else. This has been such a great experience for me, and it's not going away. I'm going to keep doing it. In fact, I'm going to continue to expand, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I thought it was important to recognize, especially in this time of transition and change, and this is being recorded at the tail end of 2020. So, I think you'll know what I mean when I say the atmosphere of change. I thought it was important to kind of look back and over the last 3 years, kind of discuss what happened with the show, where it came from, why we did it. And by we, I mean me and Lucy the demon dog, but why the show exists and where it's, how it's evolved and where it's going in the future. So let's go back to the very beginning in 2017. I was doing a lot of trade shows and seminars, and I had started my own company a couple years before and was working as a consultant. And, somebody asked me, or had been asking me, Scott, why don't you do a podcast? 'Cause we can't get to all of your seminars. 'Cause I was doing seminars at every trade show I could possibly find, mainly 'cause it was fun and I liked to travel. But, several of the folks who had either attended the shows or weren't able to attend the shows were asking me to do online seminars. And I thought, well, maybe I should do that as a podcast. And I, as you've learned, those of you who've listened over the last 3 years, you know that I'm not particularly good at the technical side. So I figured, well, let's see what we can do. And I think I've gotten a little bit better, but not a whole lot. It all started, actually, when I was at a trade show, oddly enough. I was at a trade show for escape rooms in upstate New York, I believe it was. Niagara Falls. We were at Niagara Falls. And I was on a bus, and I was thinking, you know, what do I want to call this thing? And I want it to be some sort of bad dad joke pun. And I'd kind of like it to include my name just because, well, that way it ties back to the company name. And, you know, so when I discovered that a scottinthedark.com was available, I bought it. And I bought it on a bus going to an escape room in Canada, actually. And so that was how the name came about, just because the website was available. What's really interesting is I hardly ever use ascottinthedark.com. It does exist, and it basically is a link to the shows. It serves no other purpose. But anyway, that's how the name came about and why the show is called what it is. So A Scott in the Dark is, as most of you understand, a takeoff on A Shot in the Dark, because that's kind of what I thought this whole concept was going to be. I had no idea how long it would go. I'm surprised it's lasted 3 years, and I'm even more surprised as to how it has expanded and grown, and we actually have listenership all over the world. I have listeners, I know for a fact, I have listeners in New Zealand, and I have listeners in Germany, I have listeners in the UK, and considering that all of this happens while I'm sitting in front of my laptop here in Tampa, Florida, is pretty humbling and pretty darn cool. So that's kind of from humble beginnings is where this show started. And in fact, it was so humble that the first, I've gone back and kind of listened to the very first episode, which was in spring of 2017. And gosh, here is a clip from that very first episode. And I'm a little embarrassed. But anyway, here it is.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Scott in the Dark. This is our very first episode, and let me introduce myself. My name is Scott Swenson, and I am so excited to be starting my very first podcast. Now, this is designed to be a podcast for haunters. And, you know, all of us have the story as to when we started becoming fascinated by the haunted attraction industry. And for me, it was when I was 7 or 8 years old, and one of my best friends said, "Hey, my sister's doing a haunt in our basement. So why don't you come on over and be one of the monsters?" And so I did. And I don't remember a whole lot about that particular haunt, except for the fact that that was the day that I learned it is a bad idea to use red nail polish as blood on your face.
And yes, that is a true story. And you've heard me tell it many times, if you've ever seen my show or seen me live. Anyway, so that was the humble beginnings that we started with. And the show has never really changed its format a whole lot. I always like to describe the show as being professionally sloppy because I want it to be accessible. I want it to be something that people are comfortable listening to. And unfortunately, in being professionally sloppy, there are some words, phrases, characters that people have gotten to know and started to make fun of, which I think is great because it's interaction. But I think probably the most obvious is that I use the phrase "anywho" way too much. And in fact, in one of the episodes, I actually made fun of myself. It was an episode about Spooky Empire and the Spooky Empire trade show or event. And it was called Spooky Empire, also known as the Anywho Report. And just so you know, I very rarely edit anything out. There have only been a couple of episodes where I was a little too heavy on the ums, so I took a few of those out. But for the most part, what I record is what you guys hear. And the idea of just being so extemporaneous sometimes, I think, works to my advantage, and other times just makes me seem sloppy. Other than anywho, I think another phrase that you've heard me say an awful lot is various and sundry, or if I drop a name. And then, of course, there's also whenever Lucy the demon dog comes barking into my office or barking from the other room. She's very quiet right now, so that's good. This became so obvious to my regular listeners that some of them even started doing a drinking game, so that whenever they would listen to A Scott in the Dark, anytime I said either anywho or various and sundry, or you heard Lucy the demon dog bark, people would take a drink. I'm not encouraging alcoholism, but I'm actually kind of flattered that people recognized this was an issue, and they brought it to my attention. So I've hopefully toned down some of my anywhos, my various and sundries. I can't say much for Lucy the demon dog. She's still there. But, that's the other one. But, it's like butter. Butter. Bread and butter. Anyway. So anyway, that's the professionally sloppy side of what the show is all about. Now, what's been interesting is as the show has progressed, as the podcast has progressed, there's one of those sloppy moments, I've also used it not only to do seminars and talk about classes, I've also used it as a way to share trade shows and events with a very broad audience. Because I attend so many of these trade shows myself, I'm lucky enough to be able to record episodes at them. So I have been at, trade shows all around the United States. I haven't done any outside of the country yet. Hopefully that will be happening. We'll see. But I've done everything from Transworld and HauntCon, Chicago Frights, Midsummer Scream, Southeastern Haunt Enthusiast Convention, or CHEC, Robbie Ween. I've also done shows that are not not necessarily Haunt related, but are like adjunct shows or shows that, that connect to, I usually do a show for MIAPA every year, when it's an actual show. You know, it's been virtual. It was virtual this past year, but hopefully when and if it becomes live again, then I'll be able to do another show from that. I've done, the special event trade show, which is all about special events. And again, something very, something that runs very parallel with the Haunt industry. And I also even did a couple of shows from the League of Historic American Theaters trade show. And that, again, is runs parallel to the haunted attraction industry. I love it when I can do those kinds of shows because it gives me an opportunity to show that haunted attractions don't live in a bubble. They work in the real world of entertainment, and you can tie them directly to a bunch of different other shows and different other organizations. So that's always been very special to me, and I really like those shows. The main reason I like those shows is because when I do them, I get a chance to interview and talk to my friends in the industry. And I've been really, really lucky over the years to have worked with some incredibly wonderful people. People who've worked in independent haunts, people who have worked in theme park haunted attractions. I'm just incredibly lucky to, and not just, you know, I do know some of the folks who work for Halloween Horror Nights and who are Disney people and Knott's Berry Farm people. But I also love sitting down and chatting with folks who are, you know, just ordinary folks. And in one of my shows, I actually did a, what was your first haunt memory? And I just went around and grabbed people who wanted to talk. And that was really fun for me too. But one of my favorite people to have on the show was a woman who was one of my favorite people, period. And that's Robbie LaPree. And unfortunately, we lost Robbie not too long ago. But I did, in digging through the archives, I did find an interview that I did with Robbie in 2018. And this was at the Transworld show. And it was, the reason it was such an important interview is it was the year that she was recognized with her Lifetime Achievement Award from the Haunted Attraction Association. And not only was she given this award, but they asked me to present it to her. And I caught her after she had been given the award. And we had a little chat, like so many chats that we've had throughout my career. We had a little chat. And here it is, Robbie LaPree being interviewed on the show that was live, well, recorded in Transworld in 2018. So I'm here on the trade show floor, and I am lucky enough to grab not only a very dear friend, but also the Lifetime Achievement Award recipient this year from the Haunted Attraction Association, Robbie LaPree. Robbie, how are you feeling?
I'm doing as well as I can right now and trying to make every day count and keep moving forward.
Well, the one thing that everybody has to recognize is, you know, Robbie may be having some physical challenges, but her brain is just as sharp as it ever was, and she has got this wealth of information. So, you know, if you're listening and you know Robbie, reach out, say hi, ask her questions, because she's like this encyclopedia of knowledge. So please do that. But before we go any further, how does it feel to be recognized for, you know, the 20 plus years of Haunt by your peers and by the Haunted Attraction Association?
Well, very exciting. I'm absolutely honored and humbled by that award, and made it so much more special that Scott was the presenter for that. So that made a big difference to me, making it much more heartwarming. I just was totally excited by all of the people that were there to share in that, and thanks to my team and all the people that I've worked with over the years. They've done an awesome job. I couldn't have gotten here without them. And my family was here, my sister and my daughter, to help cheer me on. So that really made a huge difference and made it even more special.
Well, it was, I thought it was hysterical, because right after the awards, it was like this hive of people
charge towards you to say hi and give you hugs, and people from all over the industry. Was there anyone there that surprised you, that you didn't expect to show up? Was there anybody who came in that you're like, oh, you're here?
Well, Leonard and Jeannie Pickle came at the end so that they could see that, and I was really appreciative that they were there. There were people from Cirque, who had previously been with Cirque du Soleil, that had made sure to come because they knew that I was being recognized, and I didn't expect them to be there. I was happy that the Ben Armstrong and his family from Netherworld Haunted House were there, and they've been so influential to me. Throughout the years, they were the first people that I met and the first seminar I went to about Halloween. And he's always inspirational with everything that he works on. And to have his whole family there, they've been so kind to me over the years. And his son, Max, is an absolute amazing mechanical and knowledge, and he remembers every little detail. So he's talked to me about all of the things that they're doing with their new escape rooms, and that's exciting. So I was just happy that there were so many wonderful people there.
Well, the room was packed. I mean, the room was absolutely packed, and it was really exciting. I was so glad I got to be there too. It was really special for me. So as far as the show goes, have you seen anything unusual, anything that you look at and go, oh, that's really cool? Because you spot everything. You see more, even with visual challenges, you see more than, I think, 3/4 of the people who are here. Has there been anything that has struck your fancy or sparked your interest?
You know, I like some of the simple things. So, I like the heads, the bungee heads. Those are things that I know will work every single time as a scare, and it's all about the timing of the actors, and you can continue to work with that to make sure that it works every time. $195 a head, I think that's a very small investment for an absolute, 100% payoff every time it's used. So I would have a dozen of those throughout outside and inside houses. I think you can make them work in every way. I loved the squishy floor that was just it's a wooden plank on foam. When you walk over it, it's texturally different, and somebody can distract you, misdirect you from the side so easily, 100% scare every time. So those are the things that I like, is that you can make work, and that's a $395 investment. Put it in a vortex tunnel, put it in, because it doesn't even have to have a ramp. You can use it in a lot of different ways. So to me, it's sometimes it's simple things, not big things, that make a huge impact.
And the funny thing is, this is coming from the woman who's done theme park for so many years, and she's always fascinated by the little simple things, which I think is super cool. When you were talking about the bungee heads, is that the VFX guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, their stuff is amazing. Did you see their new illusion box that looks like it's empty until it opens?
Oh, yeah. I loved those, too. I thought those were really effective, and they weigh about 15 pounds. I think you could... I don't know that you could keep them on for an entire 45-minute set and do okay with that, but I think those were very effective, too.
It's funny because I've actually, for a project I have coming up, I've actually written some of that stuff into the venue flows because I agree with you. I think it's so, so cool and so much fun to play with. So, you're here, you said, you were here with members of your family, your biological family, and everyone who has adopted you. You have adopted, that's probably more accurate. Is there anything that has not been part of this show that you were like, wish had been? Because everybody came around and everybody's here. Is there anything that needs to be different? Or was this everything you expected it to be?
I think the show has grown over the years, and I hadn't been in the last couple of years, so it's nice to see that it continues to expand and grow, and I like the fact that there's such, it's such a diverse group of people that makes it always special. I think the fact that they're adding Christmas to the show next year is going to be a very positive thing. Obviously, there's a lot more in the way of lighting and things that are appropriate, not just for Christmas, that are easily adaptable to Halloween. So I think that marriage between those will help bridge that gap that most of us have moving from Halloween to Christmas every year. So I think you can then use those elements multi-purposely, and therefore the payback comes a lot faster because you've made an investment that's going to pay off in more than just one event.
That's great. That's great. So looking forward, what are you working on now? What are the next projects? What's coming up in the future? Where else can we see your great work and your great mind at work?
Well, I'm not exactly sure right now, but I am definitely interested in any kind of consulting work, especially if it's mentoring or answering questions. I'm always available by phone to, you know, bounce ideas off of, brainstorm, you know, if there are brainstorming or team building sessions that people are interested in, those are things that I'm more than willing to be a part of. Developing new projects, you know, those are things, again, I'm interested in being a part of. I have a new production company called Optical Illusion Productions that right now is simply a domain name and the start of a website.
That's how they all start, though.
So as I get more to that, I will put that up. I also have iInsights, which is a nonprofit, and that is a charitable organization that I'm getting a 501c4 and to essentially, its mission is to help better communicate with doctors on eye issues and eye disturbances, and for doctors to better communicate with their patients on what they may be experiencing. And so the goal is to develop an app that allows you to visually demonstrate to your doctor what you may be experiencing with eye issues, and for them to show you what you might experience if you are having certain procedures done or certain eye drops that you may be taking. So I'm really excited about that. I have a couple of doctors that are actually going to be on the board. One of them is in the haunt industry, Dr. Bill Ramsey. So very excited about where that will lead us.
Excellent. Well, Robbie, thank you so very much for taking some time out of your day to talk to me. And I have to tell you, folks, I've known Robbie for many, many years. Well, we were 10 when we met, but for many, many years. And it is so much fun to see my friend and to share her vast wealth of knowledge to the listener, you know, to the tens and tens of listeners of my podcast. You heard it. Reach out, because she is probably one of the most incredible resources you will ever have the opportunity to meet and to talk with. And even more importantly, she cares not only about the industry, but about everybody she meets. So, Robbie, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me, and I love you so much.
Thank you so much, Scott. And you know how I feel about you. You've been my good and stalwart friend for so many years, and I love you very much.
And that's Robbie, or that was Robbie. I miss her terribly. She was an inspiration. And as you heard in that interview, she was already starting to have some physical challenges, but nothing could keep her away from being there to accept that award from her peers. So I thought that was a very special moment, kind of in the history of the show, and certainly in my own personal history. So it's interesting because Robbie was very dedicated to the haunted attraction community, and I always wanted the show to kind of have that same vibe about it. I always wanted the show to be supportive of the haunt community, and maybe it's because I worked with Robbie for so many years that, you know, a little bit of that wore off, and it's always been important to me to do episodes that aren't just about the nuts and bolts, but also about who we are as a community. One of the earliest episodes I did that kind of focused on this was an episode called You Suck. And it was all about how to take criticism when you're in the haunt industry. Because let's face it, there are people out there who want to throw stones, and some of them are in the industry and some of them aren't. But I wanted to do something about that. I wanted to do something about working together as an industry. You know, obviously when we got more and more into into the COVID situation, I wanted to talk more and more about finding ways to keep us all busy, keep us all active, reassessing what our assets are as haunters and finding new ways to use them to generate revenue. I truly believe that we have to look out for each other. Earlier this year, in 2020, I kind of stopped doing podcasts, not because I was busy, but because I didn't know what to say, because we were running into so many challenges earlier in the year, and everything from racial concerns to health concerns to financial concerns. And I kind of took a little bit of a hiatus. And then when I came back, I did a show that was all about diversity. And it wasn't just about diversity of our, the color of our skin, or diversity with our backgrounds, or our sexual orientation or sexual representation. It was about diversity of ideas and diversity of pretty much everything we can think of, and how diversity can benefit us, not only from a moral level, but also from a professional level. And here's a clip from that show from earlier in 2020, about diversity. Diversity in itself allows us to be stronger than the sum of our parts. Whatever each one of us brings to the table, it contributes to the overall well-being. And when it is all focused on just one person or one idea, then you may be very successful, but you're also leaving something out. So open up your minds, open up your hearts, and the only way to make diversity work is to find those voices that are left unheard or that have been ignored for so long and bring them to the table. Elevate them to a point where they can be heard, they are important, they do matter, and that way they can be part of the conversation, and it will just make us all stronger. So this is a relatively short episode, and that's because I don't want to get too preachy too late, but I think it's important to talk about this and to find out that diversity just makes us better. That was true then, and I truly believe that that's true now. So the question, I guess, now out there is, after 50 episodes, after 3 years, now what? What do I want where are we going from here? Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to talk a little bit about how this podcast has led to a brand new book. It's a brand new book that my friend Philip Hernandez from Haunted Attraction Network and Gantam Lighting was kind enough to edit. And he had this crazy idea, and he came to me and he said, "Scott, you know, since A Scott in the Dark is part of Haunted Attraction Network, I've been, with your permission, I've been taking all the episodes and having them transcribed and putting them out as blog posts." And I thought that was really cool. It was a great way to get my words out there even more. And he took the first 30 episodes of A Scott in the Dark and put them out there as blog posts. And then he was able to track which ones were the most popular. And he said, "You know, Scott, would you consider working together and creating a book of these top episodes?" And I, of course, said, "Can we do the top 13? He wanted to do top 10. And I said, "No, let's do 13 because it's a creepier number. It's just who I am." So we did the top 13. And through a great deal of work on Philip's behalf, we were able to put together a book called The 13 Commandments of Haunting. And it just recently came out. It is available both in paperback and as a Kindle book. It's available on Amazon. And I'm incredibly proud of the way this book turned out. And it's fun because I get to go back and I get to read some of it without me remembering what I said, you know, and how Philip has found a great way to make me sound so much smarter in print than I sound when I'm just talking. But he also keeps a sense of my voice in the writing as well. So it's clearly my words. Those of you who know me or have listened to the podcast will read the book and go, "Yep, that's Scott." I think he's taken out a few of the any who's and a few of, you know, Lucy the demon dog barking in the background. But it makes it a much more interesting read and much more cohesive and coherent. I did get to go back and write the introduction. And I told the story about going to parties when I was in college. And at those parties, we were able to come up with the solutions of everything, but we couldn't remember any of it, mainly because it was college. I'll let you fill in the details there. But it's basically was a way to express how much gratitude I have for Philip, who was listening to these podcasts, transcribing these podcasts, and cleaning them up, making them better. And so I just honestly wish that Philip had been around for some of those parties, because we could have, you know, a bunch of world problems solved right now. But so that's my way of saying thank you to Philip for putting together all this stuff. But I got to, you know, before we actually put the book out, I said, do people want to read it? You know, if they've already listened to the podcast and still have the ability to listen to the podcast, are they going to want to read the book? And Philip brought up an excellent point. He said, information is only useful when you need it. So it's good to have a place where you can have the information all sort of put together into one volume. Now, the book is a little over 200 pages, which is very cool. I've clearly talked a lot. And it's organized in such a way, and again, this is all Philip's doing, but it's organized, as the editor, he organized it into three basic chunks or parts. There's philosophy, in other words, how to think like a haunter. And then the second part is, he calls it guts and bolts, operations 101, so like how to do stuff. So there's theory, then there's practice, and then part three is the haunt community. And I was so glad that he made that part of the book, because that's something that is so important to me. I'm also glad that some of the 13 most popular blog posts were things about the community. So that made me feel really good. It means that we're kind of doing something right. He also did a very in-depth table of contents. So in my opinion, The 13 Commandments of Haunting is not necessarily a book that you sit down and read cover to cover. You can, if you want to, but it's the kind of book that when you need something specific, you can go to this great table of contents and find the exact part of the exact article that deals with what you're interested in at the time. Philip, I think, has the best phrase for it. He says, it's like having a little Scott on the shelf. So instead of picking up the phone and giving me a call, you can just pick up the book, look through the table of contents and find it and pick it up. I really hope that if you are interested and if you have read Follow the Story, which was our first book, or any of my, you know, poetry stuff, that you will go ahead and check out The 13 Commandments of Haunting. It is available on Amazon, and like I said, it's available in both paperback and Kindle, if you're a digital reader kind of person. So that's kind of what's happened from the past looking forward, and obviously that was only the first 30 episodes. Who knows, there may be another version of the book that has the first 60 episodes, which means I got to record more. But it's also, A Scott in the Dark has also kind of blossomed a little bit. It's given me the opportunity to sit on a bunch of virtual panels recently, and then in-person panels before that, for everything from IAPA to TEA, HauntCon. I've been given a lot of opportunity because people are listening to the podcast, like what they hear, and think I have something to contribute. So that's been very cool. And most recently, Philip and I have joined forces yet again to start a whole new podcast, which is actually a weekly podcast, and it's called Green Tagged Theme Park in 30. And it's designed, we've tried to figure out what do we want to do to make that podcast different from any of the other podcasts that we do. Because, you know, Philip does like a million podcasts, and I do this one and Green Tagged. And we wanted Green Tagged to be something that was for people in the industry. So we wanted to focus on the business side of the theme park and attractions industry. So it kind of has a bleed over with the haunted attractions industry, because obviously everything we talk about there does impact or affect haunted attractions, but we wanted to expand it and include zoos and theme parks and museums worldwide. So we've created a lens where in our 30 minutes we take what we feel are the most impactful and actionable stories that have come out in the industry for that week, and we discuss them. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But if you'd like to know more about that, please go to greentaggedshow.com, and it also goes out over the Haunted Attraction Network. But that's kind of the offshoot of him doing podcasts, me doing podcasts, and now us doing podcasts together. So before I sign off, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that this podcast has also brought about quite a few, I call them broken record phrases. And I know I say them way too much. And whenever I use them on Green Tagged, Philip rolls his eyes. But they're things that I think are really important. And I think it's important to kind of sum up this show, which is a celebration, really, of the first 50 episodes and the book and the new podcasts and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's important to recognize that some of my broken record phrases are things that we should all kind of keep in the back of our heads. At least I know I do. I think the one that, you know, we've already discussed a little bit from the diversity episode, and that is, if you look around the table and everyone sitting around the table looks like you, there's probably something wrong. So make sure you include diversity in whatever you do. One that came about during the beginnings of the COVID crisis, the pandemic, was don't panic, just pivot. And I was one of the earlier people to use the phrase pivot, by the way. Don't panic, just pivot. Basically, take the assets that you have and find new ways to apply them. And whether you're in a pandemic or not, I think that's just good advice. But the most important one, and the one that I have said from the very beginning, and it is not my phrase, it's just one that I say over and over again, and that is, when the tide comes in, all ships rise. We need to look out not only for ourselves, not only for our own businesses, but for the industry as a whole. When we improve the industry, we all reap the benefits. So those are my broken record phrases that have been said over and over, and now one more time here in A Scott in the Dark. So normally at the end of my shows, I talk about where you can see me, where I can be, what seminars I'm doing, what projects I'm working on. For this one, I'm really not going to do that. What I am going to suggest, however, is that if you are listening and you've enjoyed the podcasts over the last 3 years, all 50 episodes of them, please take a moment to join my newsletter. I do have a newsletter, and all you have to do is go to scottswenson.com, and on the landing page, right underneath my picture, it says click here to sign up for. And it comes out once a month. We do not sell any of your information, but the newsletter comes out once a month. It includes any of the writing that I've done, any of the special podcasts that have come out. It includes the projects that I'm working on. It includes, and every single episode has included some members-only content. Sometimes it's video content. Sometimes it's downloadable audio that you can use in your haunted attraction. Sometimes it's printable material. Sometimes it's invitations to members-only events. So please join my newsletter. It's called A Shout in the Dark. And it actually, once you join, it actually does have its own email address, which gives you direct contact to me. And it doesn't, that way your emails don't get buried in with all my other emails and such. But if you go to scottswenson.com, click on join the newsletter, and then once a month, and yes, it does come out on the 13th. So once a month, you hear from me and hear what's going on, and get a chance to share your thoughts and comments with me about the podcast or any of the other stuff that I'm involved in. I just have to say, I am totally humbled that people listen to what I have to say. And I just want to thank everybody who has listened, who is listening, and hopefully in the future will continue to listen to A Scott in the Dark. Until next time, rest in peace.